Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective, and more affordable than you might think. Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Declare your independence on the Free Talk Live Network.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
No fear here, and declare your independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, do another interview from MidFest, Mid-Continent Freedom Festival, here in Spavinaw, Oklahoma. And we have a young woman that is married, three kids, Northwest Arkansas. She's been married 14 years, Ingrid Dykes. Now, Ingrid, I met you last year. You were here then, weren't you?
I was. I've been going for about six seasons now.
Yeah, now what they do is they have it in, I think, October and April. Mm-hmm. So October, it's like fall, the leaves just start to turn, and it's really beautiful, nice and cool. And then that spring, and the leaves are starting to come back, and it's nice and cool. So he does it at two best times of the year here in Oklahoma. And I've realized now why they call it Oklahoma. Lots of oak trees. I guess that's why.
Most of the time, it's great weather. As soon as we get here.
Well, yeah, here, you know, at this time of year, but it gets cold, man.
Oklahoma especially.
I vote not.
But fresh and early.
Well, you know, let's talk about that. Are you're Northwest Arkansas? Is that where you're from, or is that where you moved to?
That's where we moved after the right at the start of the pandemic, actually.
The plandemic.
Plandemic.
Scandemic. Scamdemic. The freaking BS. So you moved from where?
From Kansas. So, Kansas City area.
So you were in the city and you just kind of, you wanted...
Suburbia. And my husband had been transitioning from his previous career into a new one. And a whole bunch of circumstances happened. Coincidences, if you will. I don't know. Miracles, we call them. Where... We moved right at the beginning and into nature, and we saw a neon sign that said, you belong here. So we knew we were right where we were meant to be.
Okay, wait. A literal neon sign?
A literal neon sign at the Momentary downtown.
That you belong here.
Oh, yeah. We were on a date, and we turned around and saw the sign in beautiful handwritten but neon lights.
In Arkansas.
Oh, yeah.
So how the heck were you... At the neon sign, you belong here in Arkansas.
We were just
from Kansas City.
We knew that we were supposed to be there. I don't know. It was just there.
I mean, were you driving? Were you visiting something?
We were walking around. The Momentary is a landmark in the area. I don't know if it's there's a hotel at the or a restaurant at the top. It's kind of 1960s.
Well, Northwest Arkansas is not, you know, near middle of Kansas, is it?
No.
So how were you there?
It's Bentonville. So it's Walmart City. The Waltons made that town. They started it from scratch. Sam Walton and Helen.
Okay, so I'm sorry to be confusing, but I'm just like, you were originally living in Kansas, and you just happened to be visiting Northwest Arkansas.
So my husband's job merged. Like, one company was merging with another company, and his job was arbitrary at that point. So they picked other people, and he was let go with pay. It was a good deal, but we had nowhere else. Like, we didn't know what we were doing. So
you're just traveling around.
Well, we were stationary. It was only 2 or 3 weeks of not having a position, but someone called him and said that they were looking for someone to fill in a spot.
Oh, so he went there for a job thing. Okay, so you were there kind of checking it out, see what's up. You, neon sign, you belong here. Okay.
Oh, yeah, and then we knew. And it was 3 days that we got to check out Northwest Arkansas because I was like, what's that? Where is that? I thought that one street was the entire city. And little did I know there was so much more to offer that they were offering. And he accepted the position. We had three different signs that let us know that we were supposed to be traveling. And I call it our second honeymoon. We went on a cruise and came back and realized that everyone was masking up. Things were closing down.
This was in Kansas City.
This was in Kansas. And so when we came to Northwest Arkansas, people were still continuing it, but on a lesser scale. Like, it wasn't as crazy.
It was only the school teachers and librarians and politicians that were masking up.
And I sent my kids to school, and that was where I discovered what they were actually doing, because I didn't pay attention before. I would volunteer here and there and visit my kids for lunch. But what I realized was they were not letting parents go in to the school to retrieve their children, to drop off a lunchbox if they forgot it, or heaven forbid they forgot their laptop and we weren't allowed to bring it because of transfer, you know, germs transfer from hands to hands, and they were over the top. I wasn't allowed to have access to my children, and I knew that was a red flag from the get-go. And I have my oldest son has autism. He can't.
How old is
he? He's 12. He's 13 now. He just turned 13 this week. He can't advocate for himself. Knowing this, I knew what I had to do, but I was scared to do it, and that was take the kids out of school, homeschool.
Take them out of the government school, homeschool yourself. This was in Kansas.
This was in Arkansas at this
point.
Arkansas. Yeah.
But I remember in Kansas, they have like East and West Kansas, some more homeschooled than other. There's like a big thing going on there, you know. So when you go to Arkansas, you ran into the school thing. Then you go, I like Arkansas, but not in the government schools.
Right. Yeah. I was exposed to it very early on, and it was only about 4 months that I had to deal with that, with the children going and me not having access to them. It bothered me, and I had time to plan, and in that time I met a few different homeschooling parents, and it was happenstance. I didn't seek them out, but somehow they came on the radar. They came through and started teaching me things, and I researched about the homeschooling lifestyle.
Well, define that, you know, the homeschooling lifestyle.
Well,
what does that mean?
Yeah, so I basically, my first item on the docket was to go on YouTube and type in homeschool mom, what to do next. And there were so many videos of parents who had taken their children out of the system to do it, or had been homeschooling since the get-go. They just already knew that they didn't trust the education system that had been in plan for the last 200 years. And it's basically an experiment.
On your children?
Yeah. Well, I learned that my children's energy is their fodder. Who's they? The they that we all talk about, they started the pandemic, they created the virus, I don't know who they is. But
I know who they are.
I'm
exactly
sure
they're the ones who won't leave me alone. That's who they are.
The listeners all have a different version of who they are, and we probably all agree.
Well, you know, my thing is that I went through the same thing when I first started doing radio back in 2003, and they go, you crazy freaking anarchist libertarian, who are they, you tinfoil hat? You know, and I go, good question. There are those that just want to be left alone, and there are those that just won't leave them alone. That's who they, them, those are, you know? When I say they, they're the ones that won't leave me alone.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's so easy for my mindset to figure out who they are. They're the ones who won't leave me alone.
It all boils down to control.
Yeah, what you got to do, what you can't do, that mm-hmm. kind of thing. So how was it in Arkansas to just start homeschooling? You know, you're going, yeah, I'm doing it. Like Arizona, I checked the law and it said we have four kids. And when our oldest was in third grade, that's it. We're done. You know, I'll do flashcards. Man, I think watch Sesame Street all day. Something better than this. This is no way. And long story. But what I did is it said that you just notify school
the
authority, the board, something.
Yeah.
You know, and it was, so I just went in on the first day of school, and I go, ooh, the money guy's here. You got four kids. Mr. Hancock, what's up? And I said, you know, can I borrow a pen? Oh, thank you. And that, you know, those little pink, you know, while you were out message slips that they have. And I go, okay, and I turned it over in the back, and I go, to whom it may concern, the Hancock children no longer be attending government school, signed it, handed it, and walked out, never looked back.
You know.
That was it.
You could do that.
I did that.
In Arkansas, they make it pretty easy. I was nervous at first, wondering how am I going to take my children out of here? How do I control this? What is my authority? And that's where
it's called parent.
Well, you know, it sent me down another rabbit hole, realizing my sovereignty and authority and speaking up and creating boundaries. It has really changed my life for the better.
Let's talk about that a little bit. You know, you're here at MidFest. I want to hear how you found out about this, why you keep coming back, you know, your relationship with the government and the school system and your kids and your husband's role and all this kind of, you know, this is all very interesting. But my first thing is the decision you made to pull your kids out of government school. That was, you know, they can't be here.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
I need access to my offspring.
So they were like, you're not allowed. No. We got them over here. They're in a cubby, pinky swear, and you can send them a note and, you know, this kind of thing.
Not even that.
No, you were like, we're done. I can't have my kid. We are so done. I don't get to talk to my kid when I want to.
Right. That sent me into a rabbit hole, looking into the ways to, well, I tried talking to the principal. She said, okay, we're normally not doing any tours through the school, but since you guys are new to the area, we'll let you walk through the school and see where your kids will be in their classes and where the lunchroom is. I know. So kind of you to let me see the jail that they'll be in. No windows. And all of this started dawning on me, right? I didn't realize the kind of facility they'd be held in for most of the day. And kids get home tired and they don't want to do homework. So after the research I did, YouTube research, talking to my counselor, talking to other homeschooling parents, talking to my husband and saying, we can't do this anymore. If my eldest can't advocate for himself, someone's got to. That's me. That's my job. And all these red flags didn't appear clearly until I started doing the work on myself. To learn about myself and learn where I had missed these red flags and where a lot of people in America are missing these red flags because we externalize, we look for outside sources to help us or save us or do things for us. The school, everybody's doing it. Send them to school and they'll be taken care of. They'll get their education. And I considered myself an idiot. Who am I? What do I know? How am I supposed to raise these future citizens of the country, of the world? But I slowly gained the confidence, and it took me a few months. That's why I think it's so slow, but really it's actually a fast track. If you can get what you need to learn in just a few months, you're doing pretty good. So I gave myself a little credit there. Took my kids out of school. I had a due date. I had a date set in my mind, and I took him out April 5th, and it was just a month and a half before the school year ended, but I knew it was the right thing to do anyway. So they said goodbye to their classmates. They came home with me. We spent the first week. I printed up a whole bunch of, I went through a whole different slew of curriculums, just trying to do the right thing and get them educated as fast as possible.
And because they weren't.
Right. Well, what I realized was when the children had to stay home during the pandemic, teachers were lost. They were trying to do things online, but Common Core has screwed things up. So there's not really a good way to teach outside of
okay,
a classroom
wait,
setting.
Wait. During this process, when you're taking them out, what year was this? This is 21.
21.
So April of 21, were they physically at the school? Had they already been doing remote learning with the
computers? They had been doing remote learning since, well, I'm wondering if it was August. August, they came back to school. And that's when I started noticing everything, mm-hmm. was the fall season of 2020. Mm-hmm. March is when they took the kids out. They didn't let kids go to school after a certain point. I think it was from mid-March or like late March to summertime. And they were sending home...
The previous year.
Yeah.
In 20.
Right, the spring mm-hmm. season, I guess.
Yeah.
They were sending kids home with work like... It just didn't make any sense. I can't even explain it. But some of the activities that they were supposed to be doing were writing chalkboard letters, notes to friends for their neighbors and like doing acts of kindness, which I love. Acts of kindness, random acts of kindness, that's great. But is it really what you're supposed to be educated on?
Teachers don't have to do anything.
Exactly. Yeah. So I realized how little the teachers were doing. And most of the time kids are in school, they're line leading, they're holding onto ropes, they're raising their hands to go to the bathroom. Things that you would normally, like this doesn't teach you real life skills. You're not learning how to seal an envelope and send out checks in the mail or change tires or learn basic
life
skills.
Yeah. So how old are your children? They seem like preteen, teen, around there.
My eldest is 13. I have a 10-year-old daughter in the middle, and then my youngest boy is 7.
Damn, I mean, you look
boy, girl,
23.
Boy.
I mean, you know, how old
I am
are you?
35.
Oh, my God.
And happy to be there.
Yeah, no, man, I want your oil of Olay or something. Is that a thing? I mean, do you, have natural skincare? Do you eat organically?
Oh, yeah, I've changed everything. Since the pandemic, I've changed who I am. I am a different person.
Do you think it's changed your health and your skin?
Absolutely.
And all that?
I don't know why.
That is one thing at these festivals. And it's just everybody looks younger and younger all the time. I think they're, oh my God, we're eating right. What happened?
Okay, I have one word for you. Inflammation.
Yep, that's what I did.
And you can be inflamed more than just your body. You can be inflamed in spirit, in mind, in emotional energy. Everything is inflamed. It's on fire. And if you feel that fire and you're uncomfortable, your body is teaching you a lesson. Your mind is telling you something. You're uncomfortable. Something's got to change. So I looked into that, too.
So did you see a difference in your skin? And
I grew out my hair. I started using natural oils. I saw the MLM oil train where people are selling you stuff, like mm-hmm. snake oils and I won't use the company's names, but, you know, everybody knows somebody who's selling an oil, an essential oil. Well, there is some truth to that. And I don't know, just things of the earth. I'm a natural girl now.
Yeah, no. We're with you, sister. You know, I wish we'd done it earlier, because I'm over 60 now. So
well,
I've been a lot
sometimes
better.
Sometimes it takes a pandemic to show you what's important with healthy eating and getting out in the sunshine. It's not going to kill you. There are so many things that are
it was everything
meant to scare.
They wanted you to do was the most unhealthy thing. Stay inside, not go outside.
Not be around other people. We need each other.
You know, it's so bad. Well, we did it. Well, we got really into it to the point that we got a distilling, lab, for Donna to distill essential oils,
yeah.
and soaps and stuff. I haven't used store-bought soap in, God, years,
You can save a bit of money. I mean, there's an initial upfront cost, of course, but it preserves. When you're close to the earth, the earth takes care of you and you take care of it, and it is a symbiotic relationship that continues.
What about food preservation and so on? Are you preserving?
Oh, I'm still learning about that. I'm not a full homesteading mom. I'm really trying. I have the books. I've been practicing a lot of cooking and making things from scratch, just like the olden days.
There you go. Well, you know, Don, well, let's put it this way. You know, she's done mason jars, preserving and canning and that kind of stuff with friends. And we'll have, you know, the people, and being, you know, all the women will come in to learn it and have some fun. But, you know, I need a bigger. So for her birthday just last month, she got a big 15-quart canning pressure cooker.
Yes, give the woman an appliance for her
absolutely.
Birthday.
Absolutely.
That's a way to get off easy.
That's an absolute. You know, all right, you brought that up. You know, one time.
You're welcome.
She does a lot of, you know, ironing. We have, you know, four kids. It's a thing, right?
Yeah.
So it was Mother's Day, and at Costco, they had this pimp freaking ironing board. It was big, had a place to put it. I knew she'd really like it. And this woman comes up and she goes, "Don't even think about it." And I'm like, "Okay, you know, I will get an ironing board for Mother's
Day." And then she turns her back.
No, she was mad. She was like, "You should have got it." You know?
Oh, okay.
So
that's when you know you've hit the jackpot.
Well, the thing is that, you know, if you don't get it right then, it's not there again. You know, Costco, you got to wait till next year or something.
Oh, okay.
You know? So finally, when it can't go, that's the one. And then we bought it and got, you know, it's fine. So, yeah, she wants, you know, her KitchenAid attachments, you know, all the girls in our family, they're all, everybody getting a new KitchenAid attachment for something. It's the pressure cooker. It's the, you know, bread maker. It's the, you know, so I made out. What do you want? They would tell, you know, the hubby, listen to this. Don't you be getting her a new ironing board, you know. you want a what, a cruise?
No, I like skates. I invest in my hobbies now. I didn't take care of myself before, and I realized that part of this lifestyle is remembering self-care. I'm not talking about the spa days. I'm talking about eating well and going outside into nature and, yeah, getting investments in or making investments in things that bring you joy. If it
doesn't
bring
you
joy.
What were you before? Before you made this shift? What was your mindset?
Fat and lazy and tired.
But did you lose a lot of weight?
I lost a good amount of weight, yeah.
Yeah? No, you look good. So this is... You're saying this is all because of a change in diet? Was it a change in spirit?
It was, you know, a change in spirit, along with, and this is a sensitive topic for me, and I'm sure it is for some of the listeners. The pandemic brought a lot to light. Churches were also shutting down. Not just schools, not just businesses, but churches too.
The bad churches. I mean, I was like, man, they shut down. That was...
And I had had questions the year before. I was asking all kinds of things I shouldn't be asking.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
USA News Update. The U.S. reaffirming its commitment to Israel's security as stated by President Biden during his meeting with the Prime Minister of Iraq at the White House Monday. Biden emphasized that the U.S. and its allies assisted Israel in repelling Iran's recent attack over the weekend. Cities across the U.S. experienced organized protests against Israel Monday. The closure of the southbound lanes of the Golden Gate Bridge resulted in hours of traffic disruption. Protesters had also gathered on Wall Street in Manhattan, at the Port of Long Beach in California, and in other locations, and they had chained themselves to a Boeing plant in St. Louis, Missouri, and blocked an entrance to a jet engine plant in Middletown, Connecticut. Monday marked tax day, and according to the IRS, most taxpayers can expect to receive the refund about 3 weeks after filing. However, if you chose to file on paper or are waiting for a check rather than opting for direct deposit, the process may take longer. John Schaefer, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Tired of ever-inflating U.S. dollar? You can live your life on Dash with BitRefill.com, where you can buy gift cards from big retailers, including grocers, gas stations, phone refills, Amazon, and even prepaid MasterCards. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and use Dash. You can learn more at Dash.org. That's Dash.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, at MidFest, Spavinaw, Oklahoma, where we're talking to a lot of freedom fighters that are just becoming aware over the last few years. And it seems that the primary motivation for them doing what they're doing was COVID and the lockdowns. Well, we're talking to Ingrid Dykes, and I'm just telling you, this is a very interesting conversation. Enjoy.
The pandemic brought a lot to light. Churches were also shutting down. Not just schools, not just businesses, but churches too.
The bad churches. I mean, I was like, man, they shut down. That was...
And I had questions the year before. I was asking all kinds of things I shouldn't be asking in a patriarchal religion. And I realized at that point, and I don't know if it's evangelical, I don't know if it's all of the churches, but not every member of a church gets the proper care and tending to. And spirit's important to me. And I had always tried to be a good girl or do the right thing. But some things were confusing. what to wear, what to eat, how to behave. And those things were already innate that I started to find them obligatory, and they weren't really feeding my soul anymore. So along with all those churches shutting down, I realized that I need somewhere to go that feeds my spirit. And it wasn't external. It was, I needed to meditate. I just needed to sit down, calm down, not have any expectations of the world, and be myself. And being myself, I didn't know what I wanted. I was just doing the roles, doing the motions.
Well, I mean, tell me about your spiritual journey. I mean, we're Christians.
You want to hear that?
we brought up, yeah, give your testimony to me, whatever. Witness me. You know, we our children, we homeschooled them. Then we did a charter for a little bit. But eventually, they're from 7th to 12th grade, they all went to Phoenix Junior Senior Christian School. I mean, you know, it was, you know, junior high, high school.
You want to send them somewhere where your values are honored.
Which I think happened, but they got their own issues too. And then there was kind of, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Everywhere. We're going to put some fear into you here, you know, that kind of thing.
Fear is the best teacher, right?
Well, I was like, come on, man. We, you know, lighten up on the fear. But the main thing was the parents were in charge, you know.
That's good.
The parents were very much, they're paying money. I mean, you know, so it was a thing. You want this here money, guess who's in charge, you know. So it was a really good experience for us. And they got, well, it just so happened this last Easter on Saturday and Sunday, God, it's like seven of my family got baptized on that weekend. You know, well, we had my son and his whole family, his wife and four kids, you know, and then over the 2 days, and then that inspired his younger sister,
okay.
You know, so she goes and does, and other people have, and of course, when Donna and I, when we were baptized, I didn't do the children, you know, I wanted that to be their thing.
A choice.
You know,
that
yeah.
That they made
it was,
consciously.
Yeah, it was more, I didn't want it to be. So even when they did their younger children, whatever, you know, it was a family thing over the Easter weekend. But it was, for me, I wanted this kind of experience for them, you know, that they made the conscious, they felt led and they, you know, sprinting down. And
there's wisdom in that. There's major wisdom in that decision.
It was, and Donna was brought up Catholic. And, you know, I was, you know, Southern Baptist in Florida kind of deal. We're in Arizona, and she went to her first Southern Baptist be healed. Kind of, she's sprinting down, man. Woo, this is where I need the young men to do me. And so I can see from, they're reading Latin when I go to her mass. I'm just like, wow, man, this is, you have no idea what's coming. So the spiritual aspect of this, I really started to, we started having services at our home. Mm-hmm. On a Sunday, and a lot of libertarian, you know, people of faith would come to our house because we were, and Donna got her apathy cured by Ron Paul during the Lovevolution and everything, so she got more involved that way. But it was, I could see that the church, we really, each one of the church had some fundamental problem, and we got to find another church. We got to not find another church.
Yeah.
And now we spend most of our time going to our daughter and son-in-law's church. We like that, Dream City in Glendale in Arizona. But I really left the church because there was so much warmongering.
Mm-hmm.
There was, you got to get your COVID shot. You gotta, you know, we're gonna close down. We're
from
gonna,
the top, from
yeah.
the top down, it is almost like a mandate. Well, the Pope or the Prophet or the Bishop or the priest or the pastor, whoever it is, the minister is doing it. So everybody do it. But in the fine print of their messages, and it says, oh, but it's your choice, of course. But only in the fine print, only at the end. But if you love Jesus, you're gonna love your neighbor and get the shot.
Oh.
And they sent us home. And they said, you can do church things at home. You still worship and honor God, and you can participate in the Eucharist at home, but only under our direction. And even if you have a priesthood or, I don't know, in our church it was like that, where you have the priesthood bestowed upon you when you enter into this age and this covenant with God. But we can take it away at any time. We can take your...
What?
Well, you...
The church said this.
Our church did, yes.
That you don't do what we say, we're going to yank your soul.
Well,
you
can do what we say when we say it. But when church resumed again, then they said, okay, now it's lifted. We're taking back the reins for your ability to minister to your family. And some people wanted to stay home and continue doing what they're doing at home because they didn't see a need to go back, or they were afraid. They didn't like to be around people, whatever the reason. But I saw through those cracks. I saw what was going on behind the scenes, and it disheartened me. So I
did you find a new relationship with God?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it was kind of the insulation got peeled away. You know, the block that is that these mental hurdles they put on people. It's just, do you find yourself that you recognize this as a way you are? It's kind of a nature thing, or is it nurture, the way you were brought up?
It's both.
When I do these interviews, I do this all the time, and it's annoying a lot of times to, you know, the interviewee, but I want to know where it came from.
It's therapy hour.
No, I mean, you know, made the decision to pull your kids out of the government school. You made the decision not to be insulated from God from, you know, some pastors told you got to do this, then we change it, and then you're not, and all this kind of stuff. And I'm going, usually it's a parent, grandparent, employer, a track coach.
Sounds like you're saying...
Some influenced you.
Well, yeah, you're talking about roles of authority. That's where my problem stemmed from.
Why?
Early childhood, because I had family members, and without going too deep,
an authoritarian figure. I had an authoritarian, authoritarian figure. Deserve the authority.
Right, because I saw one lifestyle at home and the other lifestyle playing a part in public. When they didn't match up, that was something that didn't dawn on me until later that was wrong. I learned from 12 years old that I was kind of on my own in spiritual growth.
You had your own standard that you would judge the world by, that you would kind of lens. You had a neon flash and warning sign went off in your mind or something.
Just that it was wrong. But I still wanted to people please. I still wanted love and admiration and respect and fellowship from my peers and from the adults around me. I didn't have a leg to stand on. I did not have a backbone at that point. I didn't have critical thinking. So when I developed critical thinking, it stemmed from being a questioner. I question authority, and I always have.
Well, this is a major change. How did this affect your husband? Your husband's like, yeah, man,
it's
you go,
major.
Girl. Or he's like, whoa, what the heck?
Yeah, it was more like the latter. He was surprised and worried and concerned and wanted to take care of me. He's a good man. But it shook us. It rocked the boat. It changed everything. Where before I would just go along with the motions and try to be a good girl, try to take my kids to church and have them wear the right thing and get dolled up to impress who? But I did that. But I wasn't taking care of myself. Like I said, I had inflammation. I had skin problems. I had stomach problems. I didn't have deep friendships. I was indoctrinated with society. I was indoctrinated by the dogmatic principles in the church.
What food? When you keep saying inflammation, what do you think inflamed you a lot?
Processed foods, preservatives.
Yeah, just
there were certain
crap.
Yeah, because it changes the nature of the essence that you're ingesting. Dairy, for example, you can get raw milk, you can get non-homogenized, I don't know, just like pasteurized
yeah.
Organic. I felt
I'm a raw milk fan. I'm a goat raw milk fan.
Right, goat milk has been friendly on my stomach. I try to do nut milk most of the time. Let the readers look into that. No, but coconut and almond and cashew. I try it all. I like to experiment with
food. Oat seems to be the most tolerable to me for milk.
Yeah, and they still put chemicals in there. So it's almost like you can't find anything pure these days.
We do raw milk whenever we can.
That's great. And if you can find it in your area, I recommend it.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, in Arizona, they had the dairy there that we'd go pay $13 a gallon or something like that. But, you know, I felt a lot better. I didn't get the acid reflux you know, from it. I didn't get, you know, this is, and I'm a milk guy. I mean, just get over it, you know. But the I asked him, I go, how are you able to get away with it? He goes, because Shamrock doesn't care yet.
Right.
Because Shamrock Dairy, I mean, if they would have made a call and kind of, hey, go get these guys, they'd be gone.
Yep, regulations, and you follow
the money. It wasn't even regulation.
Money.
It was just competition.
Okay.
It was like, I'm sure they, if Shamrock would have complained, they'd get regulated, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I just told him, I go, well, they can come after it. He goes, yep. As soon as Shamrock gets pissed off, we get too big. Here they come. As long as we don't, you know, get into their contract at the grocery store or whatever, you know. So it's just, it's not about health. It's about they, them, those. It's about something else. It's competition. It's you're messing with the forces of you're not allowed. So when you made this decision to the inflammation on your body.
Oh, yeah, that and wheat, too.
All right.
Because that's a whole other rabbit hole.
Yeah, no, we talked about this stuff on the show, and like my one of my grandsons, I go, you know what, he had to take him to a naturopath, and he's got this rash all the time. It's got him going, I'm just saying, I just want to make sure you know, those Honey Nut Cheerios are gone, man.
I mean, I know, every so many
morning,
changes.
It was Honey Nut Cheerios, and he was down, and I said, those are gone, I just want you to know that.
Yeah.
So the doctor didn't even test him. He goes, we're just going to stop your Honey Nut Cheerios, and then you can
right
come
away.
Back and we'll talk about
it.
Boom. You know, big improvement. So this is it that you find yourself sensitive to this stuff probably more than people?
And I was sensitive before, but like I said, without the without self-care, you're going to ignore the symptoms. You're going to ignore the signs. You're not even going to look into it. You're not going to ask questions. You're just going to go along with eating those donuts, which I love. It's my favorite naughty food. But it has so much stuff in it that is just terrible for you.
Well, let's talk about the spiritual aspect, you know, of
it was just blocking everything.
Just government, you know, the church, other people's opinions, the media.
That's a lot of topics. What are we going
to say? But how'd you break from that? What was it that you, what was the epiphany that you had? What was the radio show you listened to, the podcast, the book you read? I mean, it had to be something, or was it just all stemmed from yanking your kids out of school?
That's a good question. Honestly, the questions that I had, that I had put on the shelf for so long, my shelf broke. And it's a phrase that evangelicals use frequently, is that, yeah, you couldn't, the shelf couldn't hold all those heavy things. They were such burdens. And I experimented with marijuana for the first time, cannabis, and that helped open my mind after I had already had those questions and started writing about it in my journal.
Did you experiment with your husband or on your own?
Just on my own with my cousin one day, and I had epiphany after epiphany after epiphany, and realizing Adam and Eve, what is that, just man and woman? Like, is that just an allegory? And I realized very quickly that you can look at it that way. I just didn't realize that I could look at it in terms of a dichotomy. And I started meeting friends that would talk about this stuff and looked into Stoicism and Buddhism and just exploring. I just needed the freedom to be myself and explore. And being a rebel, you're not supposed to do drugs. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm doing drugs. Like, what have I become? But really, I learned it's just a plant. You use it wisely, sparingly, or not at all, but it's your choice. And so it just opened up my mind where I needed a little nudge into seeing that I could view life differently. And so I shifted my paradigm how I wanted to, and started giving myself a little credit, a little leeway, realizing I do make good decisions. I don't have to judge myself so harshly.
You know, there was a business tape. I mentioned this a lot because you know, brought up, and this will ring true with you. When I first started, late 20s, we had already had our fourth child. And doing business, I think I'm, you know, doing the right thing. You come home at dinner, you watch TV, and you do the channel surf. You go ABC, NBC, CBS, PBS, ABC, NBC. And it was the same five stories in the same order. And I'm going, who are these people? That did? I mean, it's, you know, a country of 280 million at the time or something. And I'm going, you know, we got five stories. That's it. This is what is important. And there's something. So that kind of bothered me.
Have you seen that commercial? Or I don't know if it's a commercial.
They're all saying the same thing.
Yeah, they're saying the same thing. Yeah.
Well, what happened was,
it's a threat to our democracy. And who wrote that script? So, you know, you're asking yourself those questions. Who wrote that? Why are they all repeating the same thing?
So what we had was there was a tape series, a business thing, and it had, you know, different descriptions of word pictures to describe something. They went like this. They said, you know, the reason indecision is the worst decision is because you never see the problem from a different angle. Mm-hmm. You just make a decision, then you'll see, oh, okay, that may not be the answer, but this is, you know, that kind of thing. And the example that they gave was that you're standing there looking at a telephone pole. You're up against the telephone pole, looking at a telephone, there's a telephone pole. Look at me, there's a telephone pole. But if you change your perspective and you step a little bit to the left or right, there's a bunch of telephone poles. And that's what happened watching the news on marijuana. I did marijuana, and I'm going, there's a bunch of telephone poles, you know? So I'm going, who watches this crap, you know? So when you said that, it changes your perspective. It did the same thing to me.
Yeah, there's an essence to every food that you eat. Even a cucumber can be more enlightening than, you know, a bowl of cereal. Not that you're going to reach for that every time, but, you know, there are certain, and this is where I also developed some of my spirituality from nature, from plant medicine. And I've done a few things, some things I would not go back to because it didn't serve me other than that one time, just learning a lesson and moving on. Like, this doesn't sit well with me, but I'm not afraid of it. And you can't go into it willy-nilly. You can't go into it.
You gotta have a shaman.
Right. I think it's a great idea to have a trusted friend or a shaman, a shamanic-minded person, even just a friend sitting there with you while you experience something to keep you safe or just to comfort you.
Where's your husband in this? Did he participate? Or did he kind of watch the kids? You go do you? I mean, what's
he's
he doing?
All of the above. He doesn't participate in what I participate in because he hasn't had the shift yet. And I say yet. I don't know that he ever will. A shift.
Mm-hmm.
I call it the big shift.
You see, this is why this is so interesting, fascinating, because, you know, you're...
we're doing something that's never... I can't find anybody else who's doing exactly what we're doing.
I'm sure
there are people that do it.
Do what?
Where one partner is still in...
Matrix?
In the Matrix.
Yeah.
I'll say it that way. And glimpses
by choice or... Or it's just, it's inconvenient now? Or
I don't know the reason. I can't explain it. And so I've tried to make myself feel better.
You guys get along, right?
We get along because I've done the work that it takes and the therapy. Yes, because I want to understand him. My deepest desire in this whole world is to understand people on a fundamental spiritual level.
That's why I enjoy
doing. And that's why you're doing what you're doing.
I enjoy doing, and that's why I ask these questions. You know, a lot of times I'll have, you know, some, you know, pretty big name people that are well known of whatever, and they want to talk about whatever it is that they want to talk about, you know, and their thing that they're pushing or their thing that they're selling or their advocacy for somebody's a bad guy or whatever. And I'm much more interested in why they care. You know, why is it that you're here? I can sling a bunch of names, but I'm just going, you know, why did you pursue this philosophy? Why did you pursue this person? Why did you pursue this issue? But what was the motivation that you even wanted to do it? So that's why I'm asking you that, you know, nature or nurture, why is it that you even freaking care? See, the reason is because if I can find that, you know, bottle that, whatever that is, you know, experience that. Well, I went on, you know, I did ayahuasca and all of a sudden everything's different, you know, and, or I did this or I did that or I did, and I'm going, If you could put somebody in that position, they take that class, they experience that thing, they watch that movie, they read that book, you know.
What's the essence of it?
Yeah, what was it that made them, you know, the person that they are? If I knew what the book was, if I knew what the movie was,
right.
If I knew, I'd have everybody do it.
Luckily,
you know?
There are so many different avenues.
Hell, I just like to find one that worked, you know. But it's a lot of times it is... you make the argument, is it nature or nurture? Were you born that way, or is it something that happened to you?
Yeah.
You know? And that's why, you know, I start off with that, because you came to this conclusion, these guys are messed up, and I don't get access, but, you know, we're done. While hundreds of other parents didn't care, didn't see it, didn't, I just do this because I'm supposed to
I
do
know.
It.
Yeah,
but
I know
you
why.
Didn't.
Yeah.
Why?
Because I'm a seeker. I seek the deepest truth. And I feel like if there is someone on the other side.
This is where I get annoying. Uh-huh. Why are you a seeker? You see my point?
Why am I a seeker?
There's always
because
an epiphany.
I'm curious.
Okay.
I love
to learn.
What am
I going to say? What am I going to say?
Why?
Why? Where did this guy, did, see, was
to
it a grandparent? Was it, you know, a parent? They gave you a lot of books when you were small?
Oh, yeah,
they
my
read
mother.
To you at night.
My mother read to me. My grandmother sang to me. It's what it goes back down to is my ancestry. The ancestry that was wise and caring and nurtured me.
See?
It's nurture.
Yeah. See? There's it. Because it always, I remember I had this one conversation that was kind of resistant, and it's usually women. Guys always remember. They go, yeah, it was this one time and so on, I did whatever. Women are, I don't know, it's like a thing, man. You
know? It just is.
And we were having this conversation, and finally she go. I always said, I go, you know, mother, father, grandparent, teacher, coach, you know, employer, something. I do like that. And then finally she goes, well, my brother got me the book. And I go, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't say brother.
Oh,
you know?
Well, then if we're going back down to that, maybe the first real major paradigm shift would have been when my mother showed me a book or a series about spiral dynamics. Which I'm not even going to elaborate on because I really want you and anyone else listening to look into that.
Spiral dynamics.
Spiral dynamics.
So it's
there's a book, there's a series, there's a YouTube video. There is, if you Google it or
it has
whatever
something to do
wanna...
with numbers that create a spiral design.
You know,
I remember somebody talking about and they were showing me paintings that they did.
It's
it was
humanity.
Based on numbers.
It's humanity starting from square one and going up through the levels of consciousness.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at GCNLive.com. That's advertise at GCNLive.com.